Do you have an idea for a podcast, but you don't know where to start? Maybe you're overwhelmed by all the tech or you're convinced nobody will actually listen to you. Well, I'm Shauna Game. After 9.5 years as a professional podcaster, at this show, Everyone's Talking Money, and 25 million downloads later, let me tell you the secret to a profitable podcast. It is building a solid foundation, your podcast roadmap before you launch. That's why I created the Podcaster Class, a fast-paced group cohort podcasting for profit 8-week style MBA program. The Podcaster Class is immersive, comprehensive, and insanely motivational. If you want to create a podcast, DIYing a launch is just not the way to go. In the Podcaster Class, you'll get the tools, tips, and strategies to create a podcast that resonates with listeners and one you can be proud of. Get this, 90% of podcasters never make it to episode 3. That's 2.8 million podcasters who just quit. So to be a top podcaster, you only need to publish 21 episodes, but you got to make them good. So in the Podcaster Class, I'm taking the mystery out of how to create, launch, and profit from your podcast so you can create a top 1% podcast just like this one. The May cohort is now open for enrollment. Classes start May 22nd. There are only 15 spots open. You are going to learn podcasting with me and 14 other amazing people. You can learn all the details at thepodcasterclass.com. Use code podcast when you sign up for $100 off. That's thepodcasterclass.com. I'm going to be real with you. Identity theft is on the rise, and you do not want to wake up one morning and discover that your bank account has been emptied, or you're overdue on credit cards you never even applied for. We talk about this often on the podcast, but you don't realize how much of your information is available to scammers on the internet and how susceptible you and your family are to identity theft and fraud. I know, it's scary, but now you can get your data removed with Delete Me. That's why I personally choose Delete Me. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal information from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. I just started using Delete Me and I got my regular personalized privacy report. I was shocked what they found and removed. It was pages of information about me that I did not want online. Here's how it works. You sign up and provide Delete Me with exactly what information you want deleted, and their experts take it from there. I cannot tell you how relieved I felt to have Delete Me. And you know, it's also a great service for your parents or grandparents to help protect them from identity theft. Delete Me is not just a one-time service. Delete Me is always working for you, constantly monitoring and removing the personal information you do not want on the internet. Take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me, now at a special price for my listeners. Today, get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use promo code ETM at checkout. The only way you get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and enter code ETM at checkout. joindeleteme.com/ETM. Go to joindeleteme.com/ETM and use code ETM for 20% off. What is your money voice telling you? Too often our money voice whispers that you'll never get out of debt or we'll never be financially secure or all of these other untruths. Listen, friend, there is secret power in your money voice, and it might just be the key to helping you get good with your money.
You're listening to Millennial Money with award-winning money expert and serial entrepreneur, Shauna Come to Game, where we flip the script on the old school approach to everything your parents never taught you about money. Each week, Shauna creates a safe space by talking with special guests from around the world about money wellness, entrepreneurship, traveling like a boss, and what makes millennials tick. Unique stories, trailblazing perspectives, tips, tricks, and everything there is to know about money. Find it all here as you uncover your money story and unlock the life you want to live. Pretty cool, right? Here's Shauna, money expert, Indiana Hoosier, and burger aficionado.
If you're an avid listener of other money podcasts, which you should be, you've probably heard Tiffany Alice on a show or two. She is a gifted money educator and is virtually everywhere. Tiffany is known as the Budgetista. She's host of the Brown Ambition podcast, creator of the Live Richer Challenge, and is the author of a New York Times bestselling book, Get Good With Money. And Tiffany and I have crossed paths so many times in the past, but this is her first time on the Millennial Money Podcast, and wow, we are so glad to have her. This is one of those episodes you're going to want to bookmark and come back over and over and over again, because Tiffany shares some really important money lessons from her book, Get Good With Money, including her 10 steps to financial wholeness. And she also helps you break down what your money voice is and the role it's playing in your financial success. So grab a beverage and get ready to dig deep into your finances. Here we go. I have had the complete pleasure of watching you as a spectator over the last few years, the Live Richer Challenge, really stepping into the Budgetista, and you're educating just millions of people around the world about financial literacy. So as a fan myself, I just want to say thank you for all that you do. You're really doing incredible work, and I'm sure you hear it all the time, but I just wanted to personally thank you to start out.
Well, I appreciate it, because, you know, sometimes you just like home and you're just working in a bubble in your pajamas. Sometimes you don't know, you know, you're like, is it working? Is it helping? And every once in a while, you know, you get feedback that just reminds you like, yes, keep going. People are being served.
Yeah, especially in the virtual world, right? And being podcasters as well. You're like, you are speaking in your pajamas in a closet sometimes or in a room, and you just have no idea. It's, you know, people are listening, but it's just this really weird thing.
No, exactly. And so, because I've been working digitally before, you know, pandemic and quarantine. So my team is all digital. And so especially it just gets hard to tell, you know, whether you're making an impact. But then I get so many lovely messages from folks who are like, you know, I was able to buy my car. A few people have hit me up that they went from homeless to homeowner. I'm like, what? Wow. I know. Those are the ones that really hit me. Or I remember a woman saying that she always thought she was going to have to finance everything for her new baby. And she's like, we were able to get her crib and we didn't have to put it on a credit card. And I just can't imagine as like a new parent how that must have made her feel. And so, yeah, it just feels good. That's the thing I really love about teaching. Like, you know, there's this sneaky little selfishness about teaching, because you get to live on forever through the people that you've served, you know? So it's like, when I used to teach preschool, I used to think to myself, I just taught Jonathan how to tie his shoe. So now when he teaches his kid how to tie his shoe and that kid teaches his kid, I get to live on forever through the shoe tying.
That's so great. I love it. I love it. Well, you wrote this like amazing book called Get Good With Money. I love the title, by the way. That is so awesome. And I'm curious to start out, you know, what do you think gets in the way of most of us really getting good with money?
So if we're talking specifically women, for sure, it's confidence, but not capability. You know, that I see that a lot with the women that I serve. Like, they'll be like a neurosurgeon. They're like, oh, I don't know about this budgeting thing. I'm like, really? Because you just did brain surgery yesterday. I kind of think that's harder. And we're talking about men. Sometimes I find that, you know, men have a hard time asking for help because oftentimes they're expected to just know. Right. And if they don't know, they're like, well, who do I go to for help where I'm not going to feel judged? So, you know, people get held back by kind of internal and external pressures, and it prevents them from moving forward.
It's so interesting. You know, I'm curious, like, particularly with women, this confidence issue, you talk about the brain surgeon, and I hear that a lot. You know, when I was working with clients one-on-one, it was the same sort of tendencies of being nervous. They're not sure how to do this. Is it just inherently built in with money that we have, I don't know, we have these fears and anxieties because we don't really talk about money with anyone?
Well, I just think it's also too that we have been brought up. So you have to ask yourself, right, how was money spoken about in your household? So was it always from a place of stress, from a place of lack, you know, from a place of deprivation? Was it spoken about positively, even if you didn't have much, about hopefully? So you get your first kind of money voice from home. You know, you either inherit that, or sometimes we inherit it and then some of us reject it, but reject it so much so we go to the extreme. You know, so for me, I got a really great money voice from my parents. My father was a CFO and an accountant. My mom was a nurse, but they talked to us about money, even though we didn't grow up with much, because I'm one of five girls, and anybody with kids know, I don't know how you could be wealthy with five kids. You just can't. I don't even know. As an adult now, you know, at the time, I didn't think anything was like, you know, I'm like, whatever, I have four sisters. But right. Now as an adult, I always ask my mother, how did you do it? How did you do it? Because when I babysit my niece and nephew, I'm like, where's your mother? Because they're 5 and 3 and we're all 2 years apart. So can you imagine? So
yeah. Everybody's always needing something, right? Yes. I mean, you move from one to the next, to the next, to the next. Yeah.
Yes. And then so, but despite not having a ton of money, I never felt like we were poor. I never felt like, you know, it was never, you can't get that. You know, we don't have it. It was always like, either we're working toward it, or here's why that's not essential, or we've decided instead to do this other fun thing. So we know, you know, like we don't do both of these fun things, you know? And so, so, but I inherited that good money kind of like voice. And then I decided to ignore that voice. And well, actually, maybe it was my optimism from that voice. And I decided to invest with an air quotes friend of mine. And as a result, he left me $35,000 in credit card debt. And meanwhile, wow. I just bought a condo. I was like in my mid-20s. I bought a condo. It was $220,000. So I had a mortgage. And I just finished my master's. And it left me in $52,000 of student loan debt. So almost $300,000 in debt. And then a few years later, the recession hit and I lost my job. And so I actually learned a new money voice as a result of all that trauma. So all the good things I'd learned from home literally like left. And it was like, money is fearful. Money is scary. At any moment in time, it could be taken from you. You could be tricked at any moment in time. You can't trust it to be invested. You have to save every penny of it. And so it took me years to undo that voice, despite growing up with a positive money voice. So sometimes our money voices are, yes, inherited from home, but sometimes we learn them due to our situation and circumstances. Either way, you want to be conscious of how you think and feel about money so you can choose the voice that you want to move forward with.
And how do you change a money voice? Like, how did you go through the process of realizing, okay, my money voice now is not really what I want it to be? And how do you untangle that?
So it's one of the mindset is such a critical component. I made it the first chapter of Get Good With Money, the book, because so and this is one of the activities that one, you have to practice pausing and acknowledging the voice. So it might be something. So every time I spend money, it took me a while to realize because I said, Tiffany, you're not investing. You have all this money saved. You're terrified, even though you make way more money now than you did when you were a preschool teacher. You weren't scared as a preschool teacher making $39,000. A year, but you're scared as a business owner making $39,000 a month.
Yeah.
So I'm like, so first you have to almost like acknowledge like, wait, something's not right here. Cause I'm like, I don't remember feeling like this when I made much less. So I don't think it's about the money I'm making. That's what I told myself at first. Well, you're just nervous because, you know, maybe you're not making enough to feel like secure. And I'm like, that's not true because you're making literally 10 times what you used to make. And when you were feeling secure. And then I said, well, what's going through my head, Tiffany? So I started to practice pausing when I was going to buy something and asking myself, what are you thinking and feeling? You know, like, I want to go on vacation. That's really expensive. But what am I really saying? Because I'm saying to myself, Tiffany, that's really expensive. But a friend of mine just told me she was going on vacation. And I was like, ooh, yeah, that sounds amazing. So is vacation only expensive when it comes to me? Because I know my friend's finances because we worked on them and I know I make more than her. So why is it, ooh, yes for her, but that's really expensive for you, Tiffany, when she's got two kids and you know she's financially sound and you don't have any children yet and you make more. So what are you saying? It's too expensive for you. Oh, you are not worthy to have that thing. Your friend deserves good things, but when it comes to you, you don't deserve good things. Mm-hmm. So I had to really start asking myself, what was I really saying? And what it came down to was I was still mad at myself for making those mistakes. So I was punishing myself by saying, I'm not worthy to have those things. You still have to pay penance And I was like, wow. Once I realized that like, I was like, no, Tiffany, you can't have that thing. Remember that time you lost all that money to the scam? No. You can't be trusted. And I'm like, Tiffany, you're still punishing yourself almost 10 years later. And once I realized that my money voice wasn't just saying we can't afford, that's not what it was saying. It was saying you don't deserve.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay. So I recognized that I could not work through that by myself. So I hired my own certified financial planner because I needed someone to help me work through like the technical components that my emotional self could not work through. Like I knew I should invest and I knew how to invest, but I needed someone to say, okay, we meet every Monday or we meet every month. And so did you transfer that money over? We're going to put it here. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
that helped significantly because although I knew how, I needed the handholding. And it's okay. This is why we read books. This is why we listen to podcasts. This is why you watch YouTube videos. This is why maybe you hire someone. It's there's power in acknowledging, you know, I want you to celebrate the awareness like, oh, I've got an unhealthy money voice. It's good. It's good that I noticed this versus allowing it to flow. And so as a result, I know that I don't know how to undo this by myself. So I'm going to seek help in this way. And like I said, help might be a podcast. You know, I have a podcast called Brown Ambition, right? Help might be, you know, a book, Get Good With Money. Help might be, I have a Facebook page called Dream Catchers Live Richer with the Budgetista. There are almost 500,000, mostly women there helping each other with their finances. So help doesn't have to be that you hire someone, but it's definitely introducing a new healthy voice to help you walk through to where you want to be.
I really love that because somebody else can see your story from a different perspective and is able to help you really put puzzle pieces together. I think in a way that sometimes we're just so locked in our own story, we can't kind of get out of our own way to see past it. So I love that you share that. I think it's so important to not be afraid to ask for help.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one of the through lines that really resonated in the book, which I really want to talk about, I think it piggybacks onto what we were just talking about, was you call the dirty truth behind financial freedom and why instead it's really about financial wholeness and that you say this is really what will set you free. Tell us a little bit about this idea of financial wholeness. I know you have 10 steps in the book that you talk about, but what is this and how do we get there?
So financial freedom, it's not a bad thing. That's an awesome thing, meaning that you have enough money that you don't have to work anymore for money, that your money is working for you. And so people think that, and I thought that too, that once I reached financial freedom, I would be good to go. And then I reached financial freedom and I was like, I'm not good to go.
No, I'm not ready yet.
Yes. And so I was like, so what's wrong, Tiffany? And I knew that there were components of my life, my financial life, that they were still missing. And so when I hired Anjali, she's my certified financial planner, I realized, wait, I don't have enough insurance. I don't have an estate plan. So I realized that financial freedom was just a major goal in your financial life. And I also realized that financial freedom is kind of inclusive. So many of us won't reach that, not in time for us to fully enjoy it. So it didn't feel good teaching to something that most people were not going to reach, you know, before 65 or 70, you know. But financial wholeness is when these 10 core aspects of your financial life work together. So it's budgeting and savings, then debt, credit, learning to earn, investing for both retirement and wealth, insurance, your net worth, then your financial professionals, and then estate planning. Those are the 10 components. And I realized that the reason why I knew internally, like something's not right, I'm financially free, I have enough money not to work, but I didn't know, I didn't have a term for it until I realized I'm like, I'm not holistically where I want to be financially. I'm like, oh, Tiffany, let's call this financial wholeness. These 10 things are not working together. Although I had most of the things, I didn't have the insurance. I didn't have the estate plan. And I didn't have all the financial professionals that I needed. So I was about 70% financially whole, but 30% were still in the wind. Like I'll give you an example, like Prince, so the artist formerly known as, you know, Purple yes. Rain, right? So we all can say, yes, Prince was financially free. He owned the masters to his music. It was used in commercials. This man was wealthy, wealthy, wealthy. But he knew he was passing away, and he was texting his friends, make sure this money goes to this person. Make sure this thing goes to... He didn't have an estate plan. He didn't have a will. He didn't have a trust. So when he passed, the only living member of his family that was still left is his sister. Now, that's not a bad thing, but the thing is, Prince used to give a lot of money to music and art programs because they saved him. Now, all of that money and the estate now belongs to his sister. What if she doesn't want to give money to those music and art programs? And they came to depend on Prince for those music and art programs. And so now what will they do? So Prince was financially free, but he was not financially whole. And so what I love about financial wholeness is that everyone can achieve financial wholeness, because an estate plan for Prince looks like a will, beneficiaries, a trust. It looks like all of this fancy stuff. But an estate plan for, say, preschool teacher Tiffany when I was 22 was putting my mother on my bank account and as a beneficiary. That's plenty.
Yeah.
So you see, like, financial wholeness can literally grow with you. It's attainable by everybody and anybody, depending on where, no matter where you are, how much you make, what you do for a living. Financial wholeness adjusts to you. It's just that it's still these 10 things, but based upon where you are in life is how these 10 things show up for you.
And I'm so glad I'm so glad you talked about that, because I know from working with clients, being a certified financial planner, that people tend to think, well, I don't have enough for a will, or I don't have enough for life insurance or an estate plan. I'll worry about that later. But all of us have stuff. All of us have desires and wishes, and, you know, we've accumulated stuff as we've gotten older, no matter what income we have. And so I think the idea of reaching out a hand to people and saying financial wholeness is for all of us. It's not just for someone making $1 million or whatever that number is that we think somehow is, you know, somebody who needs an estate plan and a will. We all need these things. We might need them at different stages.
Yes.
But I love that, because I think that that really then, like I said, it stretches that arm out to all of us. Okay, friend, I want to know, what are your money goals this year? Are you saving to buy a house, or maybe a wedding, or a dream vacation to somewhere tropical? If that's you, please, please take me with you. Or maybe you want to just grow your emergency fund, because let's be real, life is expensive. I want to make sure you reach your goals, so you need Monarch. That's why the Wall Street Journal named it the best app for growing your savings. Monarch is the top-rated all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you a comprehensive view of all your accounts, investments, transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track progress towards your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. Here's what I love. Monarch is the most customizable budgeting app. You can change the layout of your dashboard. You can go between light and dark mode. You can create custom budgets and notifications. You can set up all of these automatic rules for your transactions and notifications, and so much more. Monarch is obsessed with constantly improving their product. Get this. They release updates every 2 weeks, and they even allow customers to submit suggestions, vote on requested features, and view the product roadmap. This, my friend, is totally original. Plus, they will never sell your data to third party or show you ads. I think that's really important. After trying out Monarch for myself, I understand why it is the top-rated personal finance app. And now, listeners of this show get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/ETM. That's monarchmoney.com/ETM for your extended 30-day free trial. I'm sorry, but I have the best dog ever. Her name is Winnie Stardust. She is a mini golden mountain doodle full of life, and I would do just about anything to keep her happy, healthy, and safe. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. Your pet is part of your family, and you want to do the best for them, but vet bills can really add up. We jokingly keep telling Winnie she needs to get a job to pay for her vet bill. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customized accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping to ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are. Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you are least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/etm. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independent American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer, is not engaged in the business of insurance. In those moments when money is just not moving as fast as your dreams, Earnin provides the financial momentum you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. You just download the Earnin app and verify your paycheck. Then you access up to $100 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. I honestly would use Earnin in lots of different ways, but what's on my mind recently is I need a night out. I need some good tacos to sip on a few virgin margaritas and celebrate you all helping this podcast earn 26 million downloads. Make Earnin a part of your financial routine and join Earnin's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, "When I think about Earnin, I think about financial stability and security. Gives me a lot of peace of mind." Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in "Talkin' Money" under podcast when you sign up. It will really help the show. Talkin' Money under podcast. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank, subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC. The weather is getting warmer. I'm so excited, and it is time to say goodbye to all those jackets and sweaters, and hello to the shorts and t-shirts. I wanted to update my summer workout wardrobe for the long haul without, you know, spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince, and I am in love. Quince is your go-to place from everything from premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless, 14-karat gold jewelry, and so much more. The best part of all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes those savings on to you. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. Okay, I bought the dreamiest pair of workout leggings and a bright pink workout top to match. Honestly, ladies, I gotta tell you, these leggings you need. The price cannot be beat, and I feel like a million bucks wearing this cozy workout friendly outfit. I've worn it for like 5 days straight. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/etm for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/etm to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/etm. We have an Ask Shauna, and this one comes from Susie. And Susie says, "Hi, Shauna. First off, I want to say I love your podcast. I've learned so much from listening over the past couple of years. I always share your podcast with anyone who loves to learn about money. My name is Susie, and I'm 28. I recently moved from LA to Seattle. I was offered a job opportunity and decided to make the move. I only had $3,000 saved in my savings account, and I took a leap of faith. So far, everything is good, but I feel a little bit disorganized with my finances. I'm saving, paying off debt, paying my bills on time, and now I want to start investing soon. I came to the conclusion that I might need a financial advisor, someone to help me meet my monthly financial goals and stay on track. Who or where can I go for this assistance? If you have any recommendations, please let me know. Well, Susie, first, congrats on that move. That is so awesome. I have eyed Seattle as a potential place to move to for quite a while, but you got to tell me how the weather is, because that is my main concern being a sun-loving person. I love the sun. I don't mind the cold as long as the sun is out, and I'm not sure I'd get very much of that in Seattle, but gosh, it is so beautiful up there. It just blows my mind, the beauty. And I love the ocean. I love anything about water, particularly after losing the hearing in my left ear. I have chronic tinnitus, which is like the worst buzzing TV static sound you could ever hear. But mine is 24/7, nonstop for the last 2.5 years in my left ear. So it's like this irony. I can't hear sound, but I can hear all of that. Anyway, the point is, when I'm around ocean or water, my tinnitus gets so much better. And so I just have been really surveying all of the places that have water that are maybe a little bit more affordable than LA. But I'm really excited for your move. And I really think, I love that you shared taking a leap of faith, because so many times we can look at the numbers and think the numbers maybe don't make sense, or maybe it's not enough. But if we feel that stirring inside of us, taking a leap, I think, is a really good thing. It just reminds us that we're alive. So I love that you shared that. And I think your question about working with a financial professional is amazing too, because it shouldn't be something that you consider when you're making $1 million or whatever that number is for you, or when you have all your ducks in a row. Too often we think, well, we can't hire a financial person because we don't know all of the money questions and we don't have everything lined up. But that's actually the best time to hire a financial planner, because they can really help you see all the puzzle pieces, answer your questions. But really, a financial advisor is trained to look at all of the bits and pieces, and also to take in part your goals and to say, okay, let's take it all apart and let's put it all back together. So it really works to help you achieve those goals. And I, of course, always suggest working with a certified financial planner like myself. I really do. Certified financial planners, we've had to become ninjas in all things finance, and we're also held to a high ethical standard. So what that means is we're always going to put you first, not us. It's not how much we make, any of that. It's can we do the best for you? Now, I think every financial advisor should think of money that way, but unfortunately, that doesn't always happen, right? So I would say look for a certified financial planner, and a couple of places to start that I would really suggest. The best place is the CFP Certified Financial Planning website. You can go right to cfp.net. I will put this link in the show notes as well. And in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see a link that says find a CFP professional in your area. So you just go in, say what city you live in or what country. We have CFPs all around the world, and you can find some people locally in your area. And I would say talk to maybe 2 or 3 people. Like, look for somebody who's the right fit, who really jives with your personality, with your goals, the way you like to work as well. Another great place is called xyplanningnetwork.com. So XY Planning is a group of CFPs, also primarily around the United States, that are CFPs that work with clients. So that's another place to check. But between those two places, you're going to find a good list of CFPs that you can contact. And again, just find somebody that you feel good with, because you can hire a CFP to do lots of things. They can do a full-blown financial plan. Doesn't maybe sound like what you need at this point in time, or you could just hire someone for a couple of money questions or maybe a couple hours of their time, maybe to help you put together a budget or to help you come up with an investing plan. So most CFPs are a little nimble and they can work with you in lots of different ways. But again, I'm so glad you brought up this question, because I can't emphasize it enough that you don't have to wait until everything's perfect to work with a financial planner. And A financial planner is not there to judge you. They're not there to say, oh my gosh, you spent how much at Starbucks, or you're eating out and you're doing what? They're not there to do that. What they are there to do is say, okay, what are your goals? Let's look at your money. Let's look at everything, and let's figure out how we move you closer to those goals. So thank you so much, Susie. And listen, if you have an Ask Shauna, it's easy. Just head right to the show notes, click the Ask Shauna link, fill out your question. If you want to stay anonymous, that's good as well. But I would love to get your question answered as well.
It didn't sit well with me to teach a thing that all students could not have access to, you know? Yeah. Like, it just didn't sell. Because I used to think to myself, okay, so Tiffany, you're good, quote unquote. Not really, I realize now, but you're financially free, but you got here by some random way. Oh, you know, the recession happened. And then I was good at budgeting because I grew up learning how to, you know, how to manage my money. And then I helped my friends. And then all of a sudden, you know, like, because I used to do volunteer work, the United Way said, hey, you want to do a financial education class for us? And then social media became a big thing. So I leaned into it. And then I started, how can I lead somebody down that path? You know, because like, there's no new, like, I can't say, well, if you want to get, you know, you want to be like me, like, magically start a business when there's a recession. That's a perfect recession business because it's literally a financial education business. Magically start that business. Magically start it right when social media is starting to grow, so that way you can grow on the tail end of it. And yeah, there you go. You will have a multi-million dollar business and you will be financially free. I just, like, literally, it used to keep me up, like, some days, because I would think to myself, how do I teach someone to get to where I am, but in a way that's actually doable? And so, you know, I rejected that you had to be an entrepreneur in order to be okay with your finances. Like, you know, how do you get good with your money without having to have these extreme circumstances? And that's why I'm so excited about Get Good With Money, the 10 simple steps to becoming financially whole, because it means that everybody, like, I can literally see 21-year-old Tiffany being like, yes, I can do this. You know, like, insurance for 21-year-old Tiffany, literally, she's probably like, well, I don't own anything. I don't have anything. You know, it might be she has, like, you know, health insurance, obviously, but she probably was still under her parents then, you know, and so that might have been enough for her. But then Tiffany, you know, at 41, I've got life insurance. Of course, I've got health insurance, but I've also have insurance for my businesses. So it's grown up with me, my need for insurance. And both 21-year-old Tiffany and 41-year-old Tiffany will learn how to do that and get good with money. And that really makes my teacher's heart smile, because it means that all students get to be serviced.
Yes, I love it. We'll be bringing you the apple. Well, you talked about starting your business during a recession, and obviously we all lived through a crazy year and a half. We've seen the wealth divide grow even deeper. So many people have lost businesses, jobs, incomes. And then we have the other side. So many people have profited tremendously off the pandemic, or just the stock market, the economy, whatever it might be. You know, I'm curious, how can we change things as a society, as people, to really ensure that no matter race, gender, income, background, we all can really learn these financial concepts that we should have been taught really early on? We just aren't in this country for some reason. How can we really change this?
Well, the truth is, it has to start in the school system as well. So I was fortunate to partner with Assemblywoman Angela V. McKnight in the state of New Jersey, and we worked together to write a bill that's now the law. The budget needs to law. It's law A1414, making financial education mandatory for middle schools in the state of New Jersey. We already had a law in place for high school, and now we're actually working on one for elementary school. So I think there's 21 states in the United States that have laws for high school students learning financial education, because it's critically important. It has to be integrated into your life as early as possible. So we normalize talking about money. I don't want the first time you hear about credit that you're 18 and you're in your college, you know, college dorm room, trying to figure out, should you apply for a card? I would love for you to start to learn about credit in a way that's age appropriate in middle school. Right. So by the time you get to college, you're like, oh yeah, I know this already. You know, like, I've been here before. I've done that. So you can make decisions based upon prior knowledge, not just guessing because your parents are not around or your guardian is not around. So I think that's one, is that we have to make financial education accessible. One of the easiest way to do so is to do so through schools and through students and through curriculum. Another thing is like what you're doing now. You have this awesome podcast, you know, like the more people that know should share, because there's going to be an audience that's like, oh my gosh, Tiffany, like my podcast, Brown Ambitions, with my friend Mandy. Oh my gosh, I love the tone of your podcast, but we talk like about money, but also about career and things like that. And so like, so that might suit them, but then there're going to be some people who are like, no, you know, I'm a millennial and I really want to listen to the Millennial Money podcast because, you know, it really speaks to me. And then some people, it might be a guy and they're like, oh, I really love, I don't know, Earn Your Leisure. I think that's these two guys, you know? Yeah. So I think that also for us adults who are kind of already out here, that the more folks who understand financial education, from high end to trading options and stocks and real estate investing to beginners, to how to budget, how to save, more of us need to be given space to have our voice be heard, because as you know, the financial education landscape has largely been male.
Yes.
You know, and they've really have like kind of blocked out our voices. But thankfully, I'm seeing that change, you know, because I was reading this study that said that women in particular make up to 70% of the choices in a household.
I know.
And the financial choices. So if women are struggling making financial choices, the whole family struggles.
Yeah.
You know,
it's really, it's such an amazing statistic when you think about it. And then you think about the wage gap. I mean, yes. I mean, it's just all the numbers are just so out of proportion.
Yeah, it's really just like, I think it's legislation. I think it's education. And I think it's accessibility. You know,
yeah.
I always say that the three ways that I try to make sure that I dispense financial education and help to transform and teach folks is through knowledge, access, and community. Those are my three bullets. I'm always asking myself, is that what's happening here? So knowledge is the actual lesson itself. You know, like, does this book, does this podcast, does this online school, you know, am I dispensing knowledge here? Then access, what I do with access is through people. Because what I found is that there are some doors that cannot be opened on the outside. Someone on the inside that knows has to let you in. So I like to go on podcasts like Millennial Money. I like to do people's lives with them, you know, because I like to bring my audience along so they can find someone new to listen to. I always tell people, I'm not your financial guru. I'm your financial girlfriend. And what do girlfriends do? Oh my gosh, this is where I get my hair done. You want to come? Oh my gosh, this is where, you know, I find the best, like, you know, like, bread, fresh bread. Like, girlfriends put you on to something new and amazing that they've connected with, right? So access is critically important, because I don't know all the things and I'm not meant to know all the things, but I'm meant to share with you people who know more than me in different subject matters, especially financially. And last but not least, community. I think that we work best in community. That's why I have my Facebook group. It's totally free, because I want people to connect together, because I'm not a single mom, so you might have a question that's very specific to your circumstance, and there's someone else that's like, I got this, Tiffany, tag me in. Okay, girl, what you need to do is, and I'm like, yes, you know, I'm not a dad, I'm not a man, so you might need to hear from a guy like, yeah, I know exactly how you're feeling about asking for a raise at work, this is what you should do. So knowledge, access, and community, those are the three points of contact I try to make when teaching financial education to make it last, stick, and transform.
Yeah, I love it. Those are so important, because none of us have all the answers. That's why we all need each other. And I think we need to realize that more, that mm-hmm. none of us have the exact right answer for you for your money question. We can all give you some guidance and some input and some thoughts. And then, you know, you take it all and shape it into what works for you. I'm curious, have you had any aha moments over the last like year and a half COVID pandemic time about your own money? Has anything like transformed for you?
Yes, I will say this. So I said that 2020 was like the year that the boat that we've all been building this financial boat, But now some people have not built it at all. So when it was time to push it into the water in 2020, some people were like, I don't have a boat. Some people's boat wasn't finished. Some people's boats were lopsided. Some people's boats were not waterproof or they had holes in it. Either way, we got to see how ready we were for this flood.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, I had a boat. And because of what happened in 2008, 9, 10, during that recession, I fixed the boat based upon what I knew I needed from that recession. So I pushed it into the water. It didn't flood. It was, you know, it was well shaped. I said, okay, but it didn't go as fast as I would like because what I didn't do was learn the next level of investing. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I'm like, there's nothing wrong. I'm all for buy and hold, but I'm like, Tiffany, you know, you have a little extra money to be a little more risky over here. And I didn't really like individual stocks are not really my thing. And I wish I could have taken a little bit more advantage with like excess money, but I didn't want to do something that I had not spent the time learning about. And I realized that was the one little chip in the boat was like, okay, Tiffany, you had not fortified yourself and learned more about next level investing, like real estate, for example, too. There were opportunities and I didn't take advantage. And I was like, okay, so now that is 2021 and we've all taken our boats out of the water. I know what to fix now. So for me, that was the aha moment. Like, okay, you know, your boat was good. It didn't move as fast as it could move. Because I saw some of my friends who did know.
Yeah.
Like, for example, you know, almost everybody's up in the market. I think I was up like, you know, 100, 200%. I know people who are up 600.
Right.
1,000%. And I was like, no. So I'm just like, but you know what? Floods come, like floods are cyclical. Like a real flood, yeah, in real life. You know, they're cyclical. We're going to be flooded again. So those of you listening right now, pull your boat out of the water and figure out what you have to fix based upon how your boat performed in this last flood, because I'm fixing mine. So I'll be ready for the next one.
And I know a lot of people fixing their boat are focused on debt. I'm sure you hear this. I hear this all the time. And one of the things you talk about in your book, Get Good With Money, is ways to make debt disappear. And I've heard a lot of people say, you know, what I've learned over the last year and a half is, I really need to get rid of this debt. I think nobody is like, hey, I love my debt. We all want to get rid of it. So kind of a two-parter question for you. You know, the first is like, how can we get a good mindset in the midst of paying off debt? And then what are some ways now that we've taken our boat out of the water, what are some of the ways that we can really ramp up our debt payoff?
So one of the things I want to be mindful of is that debt freedom is a goal, but not the goal, right? Yes. So same thing like financial freedom, like, because I think a lot of people focus so heavily on debt, they forget that there are other steps to financial wholeness that you also have to incorporate simultaneously. So let's adjust that, because I've known people who have gotten debt free. Like, for example, my nephew is debt free. He doesn't have a mortgage. He doesn't have a car note. He doesn't have a student loan debt, but he's broke. Because he's 5.
Yeah.
And all of our toddlers are just our little broke best friends. Because if debt freedom equaled wealth, all of our toddlers would be driving around in baby Bentleys, right? So I just want to be mindful that although, you know, I want you to work toward debt freedom, but not at the cost of everything else. So that's one. So I want you to think, when you're thinking about paying off debt, like, you should be thinking about paying off debt as part of a trio. So there's paying off debt as a financial goal, part of that trio. There's saving to get at least to enough to fund your emergency savings account. And then there's investing. That is the trio that debt belongs to. Debt should never just be thought of debt itself. And if when you're starting to pay off debt, I like to use something called the snowball method. And so to start, the snowball method is when you pay off the debt with the lowest balance first, so you can have early success. So when your debt is low, like under $1,000, you know, then you want to use the snowball method to pay off whatever debt has the lowest balance, pay those off first. And then as your debt gets to be a little bit more expensive, consider switching over to the avalanche method. And this is when you start to look at debt that has the highest interest rate first. So now that you've paid off your low end debt, you're like, okay, now this debt with the highest interest rate is costing me more money than other debts. This is typically credit card debt because you have double digit interest rates. And that means you're adding so much every month. You're like, that you don't pay it off. Then it's just like adding and adding and accumulating. So really attacking that high interest rate debt next. But all the while remembering that you should be simultaneously setting aside to fund your emergency savings account. And then once your emergency savings account is funded, than the excess money to go toward investing.
Yeah.
But before you really go hard on investing, make sure that before you start investing, that your high interest rate debt is paid off. Because what you're going to earn in investing, typically, I mean, we had like a banner year, but that's not typical.
Right.
Typically, you're looking at a return of, like, conservatively speaking, 7 to 8%. So you know if your debt is costing you more than 8%, you're not likely to out-earn that in the market. So I much rather you get rid of your 10, 15, 20% interest rate debt, you know, before you start investing in the market, because you're going to, what you would gain in the market, say, let's just say 8%, you would lose to your debt. Let's just say that's 10%. So I hope that makes sense. So snowball first, then avalanche, simultaneously funding your emergency savings account, because that's your first line of defense. Once that's funded, meaning at least 3 months, I always say 3 months is the starter. Then I want you to look at your industry for your emergency fund and say, hey, how quickly can I replace my income if I lose my job? So my mom, who was a nurse, 3 months was plenty, because even before quarantine pandemic, like when nurses are always in high demand. Yeah. So 3 months is literally plenty. My sister, an engineer, she had a hard time finding her first job. It's hard oftentimes for women engineers to find jobs. So it almost took her a year. So 6 months or 8 months is what she might need to fund her emergency account. And once that's funded, then looking to invest. And when I talk about invest, I'm talking about investing for wealth, because you should always be investing for retirement. I don't care if you have debt. I know that there are some financial quote unquote gurus who are like, don't set aside for anything until you're debt free. I'm like, I've known people who, a woman wrote to me and she was like, yeah, I follow this big guru that we all know. He's a guy. And he said, don't.
I kind of know who you're talking about.
I know. And honestly, it broke my heart, because she was 50.
Yeah.
And she's like, I finally paid off my house, or I finally paid off my debt, so now I can set aside for retirement. I was like, oh my goodness. Honestly, I told her, because she was going back and forth with me. I said, honestly, I'm not trying to be disrespectful or argue. It's just that there's something called compounding interest. That's when your money earns money on your money's money.
And all the monies. Yes.
Yes. You know, so it's like you have this lump sum of money, and then it earns interest. And now you earn interest on the interest it earned plus the money. Then you earn interest on the interest plus the money. Then interest on the interest. So all it starts to accumulate. It's called compounding interest. And I told her that's literally money you can never get back. You can never get back that compounding. And the greatest tool to compounding interest is time. And so you can never be 35 again. You can never be 25 again. And so I told her, I'm glad that you're starting now, but quite honestly, you're starting late. You're going to have to sacrifice even more now. You've been sacrificing all these years. You're going to have to sacrifice even more now just to set aside for retirement. What kind of life is that? This is why I say that access component is so critically important. Because you have to have access to other voices in the financial space. So that way, when someone says something that seems off, you notice. Because you're like, that doesn't seem right.
Right.
Because three other people that I trust and know said the opposite. Let me do some more research. Versus I follow this one person and they tell me all I need to know. If my doctor, like I just had rotator cuff surgery.
Ooh.
And I know. And actually have physical therapy after this. Right. So I had rotator cuff surgery. But I went to Dr. Jennifer is my general practitioner. She did not do the surgery, right?
Yeah.
She was like, ooh, Tiffany, you know, because I was like, oh, my shoulder really hurts. I can't lift it. She said, it might be your rotator cuff. She sent me for an MRI and said, yep, it is. You need surgery. Imagine her saying, I'll also do that. Oh, and by the way, I also got Invisalign. I'll also do your Invisalign because I'm an orthodontist. Oh, and by the way, no. Dr. Jennifer said, I'm going to send you to a specialist. So I have orthopedic surgeon for that. I've got an orthodontist for my Invisalign, because they understand that there are people who specialize in just that thing. Like I don't go to my accountant to also do, you know, my investing for me, you know? And so I want us to think about that when it comes to financial educators. It's okay to have a myriad of people and say, I really go to this person because I know their specialty is taxes. And I listen to this podcast because it's all about career. And this one's all about entrepreneurship. That's okay. And honestly, it's encouraged.
Yeah. Wow. Such great advice. I think that really hopefully resonates and sits with people that it's okay to get different voices. It's encouraged to have different voices. Well, Tiffany, this has been so fantastic. You have shared so many amazing things of everything you've shared, everything that's in your book, Get Good With Money. What's maybe like one money lesson that you just want everyone to remember, like the lasting memory of this podcast? What would that be?
If there's one money lesson that I want everybody to learn, is that you can get good with money. I promise you that you have the capability of doing so. If you wake up every morning and you take care of yourself, you take care of other people, if you work, if you have goals and dreams, all of these things are harder than basic money management. I promise you. And you have all the capability, and sometimes you just need a little bit of confidence, but you can and you're able. And if you will take one little baby step, then the next step will just be that much easier. And I just want you to get walking. So yeah, you can, you're able, I promise.
I love it. That's such great advice. Well, you have so many different things. Tell everyone where they can find you, connect with your podcast, grab the book, Get Good With Money, all the things.
So my podcast is called Brown Ambition. So we're on all the podcasts, like, I don't know, channels. I am the Budgetnista on all the socials, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. And you can get my book, Get Good With Money, at literally the title, getgoodwithmoney.com.
I do have to tell you that my money voice has not always been great. I share so much of a similar story with Tiffany, where I grew up in a family that talked about money, but somehow my voice got all mixed up somewhere in the middle there. And it's one of the reasons that I created the Money Mindset Journal, because I know that I needed a tool to help me recenter my money voice and certainly get a better money mindset. So if you're in that spot, just know that you are so absolutely not alone and that it can be done. You can change your money mindset, your money voice, and you can get good with money. So listen, if you enjoyed this episode, do me a favor, share it with your friends so that they can learn this important money advice and lessons as well. Be sure to subscribe and follow the Millennial Money Podcast so you can get all of the new episodes. And you can head right to our show notes for all the links to our episode sponsors and our guest on this show. I'll see you back here in a few days for a brand new episode.
Hey, you. Yes, you. Before you go, we want to say thanks for listening to this episode of Millennial Money. For all the links, tags, and ads you've heard on today's episode, check out the show notes or go to mmoneypodcast.com, where you'll find more episodes to share with your friends. While you're at it, leave us a review and make sure to subscribe wherever you listen so you don't miss out on all the money tips and tricks that will take you from a millennial regular to a millennial money expert. See you back here in a few days with a fresh new episode.